Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to the Thursday show. Normally this is family time with Bob Oakley, but I have the privilege of having a special guest on today. So I will be helping host along with Bob on a special edition of today. Our guest today is a phenomenal woman named Heather Mahoney, and she is the creator of Roadmap Heather. And what she does is she helps individuals transition in life and make those changes and help guide them make those changes. But not only people and civilians, but she also helps soldiers and service members, current and former, help them transition into the world. Welcome, Heather. Glad for you to be here today.
Well, thank you so much. I totally appreciate being here.
Good afternoon, Mary.
Hi, Bob.
How are you?
Great. It's raining, so I am happy.
I hear your guest is on, right?
Correct.
That's great. You guys go right ahead. I'll just listen.
All right. Also introduce the president of the Hope Collection. Ron, how are you?
Good morning,
Mary. I'm doing great.
I guest this morning, and Bob, I would like to say hello. I just want to jump on, too, and say hello. I'm in the midst of a transfer. I have a 95-year-old mother-in-law that we're taking to the heart doctor just for a checkup, but she's 95. And so we're just doing that. She's about to be put in the car now. But I want to call in and say hi and look forward to hearing from Mary. You've been promoting this show for a long time, and we're excited about hearing from your guests. And we're able to be a platform that we use to share good in life and touching lives. So thank you, Mary.
You're welcome. And I have some exciting news for you, too, by the way.
Oh.
I will be on the largest radio show in southern Minnesota tomorrow at 7:30 in the morning my time, 8:30 in the morning your time, to promote the Battle Within and the Boy Scouts fundraiser.
Fantastic. Well, that's going just super. And I'll be getting some information from the Buffalo Naval Park here today. And I'm making connections with the director, who this has been arranged for the Cub Scouts from Medford, Minnesota, to be able to sleep on the Little Rock, one of the Navy ships that's the largest inland Navy museum in the world. So thank you. We look forward to talking to you. Have a good afternoon, guys. Great news, Mary.
Thank you, Ronnie. So, Heather, can you tell us a little bit about how you got started in this whole field? Because there's not a lot of people that do what you do.
I got started from this through a divorce. You know, I had my now ex-husband came in on a Wednesday night and said to me, "Can we talk?" And I said, okay. And the talk was, I filed for divorce and you'll be served next week.
Oh, wow.
And it was exactly. And I was pretty much speechless. I don't know if I was surprised. If I look back in time, I probably wasn't surprised that it was coming, but I just didn't expect it in that moment. And it was a time for me when a lot of things were happening in my world, i.e. I know my mom had died, I didn't have a job, and I was just coming out of a realization that I had postpartum when my son was born. And when that happened and you said I filed for divorce, it's like, what am I supposed to do now? I pay the rent. How do I keep my son in a private school that he has known his entire life? And those were my two questions. How do I pay the mortgage and how do I keep him in private school? So that's how I got started.
Wow.
Go ahead, Bob.
I was going to say I relate to that because 2 years ago, a little over 2 years ago now, I went through a divorce also. And it was not a bad divorce because we both wanted it. But we had been separated for 15 years, so I understand what you're going through. And it's a situation that if you keep the faith, things will get better. And because I can attest to that because I had met someone actually before my divorce. I met someone that I'd known for 5 years, and we finally decided after I was divorced that we would get together, and we did. And 2 years ago we were married, and we're very, very happy together. So there is life after divorce, and that's the only reason I bring that up, is just to let you know my experience that there is life after divorce.
And you're so right, there is life after divorce. I've come to learn, and I wouldn't say to him, to his face, but I probably will now, I thank him for the emancipation. And I say that because at the time I didn't see it, but it was the push that I needed to actually go out there and find what I want and claim what I want and do what I wanted. And before, I was hanging on to a Linus blanket of security and not moving. It was like a paralysis. And that push of saying I filed for divorce got me to move, because today I haven't found anyone yet, but that's okay. I am more happier today than I was, other than the day that I think I got married, than I was doing the marriage and doing all the turmoil that we had. So I appreciate the divorce today.
You know,
go ahead, Mary.
It's kind of funny how, you know, we look back and look at our lives and how things overflow. And we look at them at the time as like the end of the world, but when we look back at it, we see all the things we missed.
Yep.
And it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I didn't see that.
And that's true, because we didn't see it because it wasn't our attention or in our attention zone. And, you know, it's like when you buy a new car, all of a sudden every car out on the road is the same color, same model, same year. And those cars were always there, but because we didn't have it, it just wasn't part of our attention focus. And for me, what I learned was not only did I get to pull all that military experience I had while I served in the military, but it also served me to create more discipline, more focus, and to be a little bit more assertive in what I wanted to do and how I needed to go out there and do it. You know, I wrote a book. After the divorce, it took me 7 years to write this book. But one of the things that I found out in the book was the word partnership. And you remember in boot camp, is that our basic training, you couldn't go anywhere without a buddy. You always needed a buddy to go with you wherever you wanted to go. And that went away from me for a while. And while I was writing the book, I realized in order to achieve anything that I personally wanted, I needed to have a partner, not necessarily a male partner or a spouse in a relationship, but I needed to partner with someone in order to see behind me, because I couldn't see behind me by myself. I could see forward, but I can't see from behind.
Right. You need that support system. I remember back in boot camp, you know, the day we graduated, that was like the first thing that went through our mind is, oh my gosh, we can go to the bathroom by ourselves again.
Exactly.
You know, I didn't have to take someone to the bathroom. It reminded me back of being in like elementary school and, you know, your partners, you know, somebody, you have to always go with somebody. It drove me nuts.
True. And you know, you mentioned that you have a young child. It was like when my son was much younger, it was like, you know, his name is Emerson. It was like, Emerson, you need help. Let me help you. And I say to him and I say to others, the moment we turned 18, it was like, oh, no, we don't need anyone. We can do it all by ourselves. And that's so far from the truth.
That
yeah, absolutely.
Is cool.
Yeah. You know what you say about a partner, having a partner. I experienced the same thing. I needed to have someone that I could be a lifetime partnership with, and I didn't have that with my previous wife. We realized that we were so far apart in life that we couldn't even understand why we originally got married. You know, and I found a partner, and she's from Colombia, South America, would you believe it? I live in New Jersey, and she lives in Colombia, South America. But we met in my church. Her daughter, who was a member of our church and who had come from Colombia, and her husband, and they had a family here in New Jersey, and her daughter introduced me to her mom. It was a great meeting, and I eventually invited her out to have lunch, and from there things just got better, and it was just, but I am so happy now, and she is so happy that we found each other, and that we have a partnership that we can work together on, I'm still friends of my ex-wife, believe it or not. We are good friends. We have children together, and we have businesses together. So we have to associate with each other, and we both decided that we were going to remain friends after the divorce, and that's the way it's been. And my new wife has no problem with that. She knows that that's the situation, and we work together on things. Both my ex-wife and I, and my current wife and I, we all work together on things and family relationships, and so I think that's vitally important to have a partner that you can lean on and you can depend on. And I have my first partner is, of course, the good Lord. He's the first partner in my life. And then my wife is second in my life, and then my children. I think that it's very important to have that relationship.
Right. It is important to, and I don't have that friendly of a relationship with my, but, you know, it's so okay. There is no hard feelings or animosity towards him in terms of, because what I realized was and is that without him, one, I could never have had my son. That was number one. Number two, the lessons I learned from that relationship have so served me today that I would never have had that had I not met him.
Yep. Yep. every relationship we have in our life is important, and we do learn things from every relationship, whether it's a love relationship or whether it's just a business relationship, whatever it is, we learn things in every one of those relationships. And I've learned so much with my relationship from the Lord. He's my guide. He's my spiritual advisor, and that's what keeps me going. Also, is that relationship with him, and then with my wife and my children. And I have a lot of children. I have 9 children, and when they didn't know that my ex-wife and I were going through the situation we were going through, because we kept it to ourselves. We didn't want to bother them with it. We didn't want them to be involved in it. And when we finally decided to get divorced, it was a little bit of a little bit of a shock to them. But they've gotten through it, and they love my new wife very much. And we get together. We have share things together, and we do. It's just a good. I think it's very good to have a partner and to learn the things that we learn from that relationship.
True. And like I said before, it propelled me to do a deep dive into my soul to say, who is Heather? What does Heather want? And where does Heather want to go? And that's how I created the roadmap. And
Wow. For
me, the roadmap is, as you traveling down the highway and there are markers as you travel, exit signs tells you where you're going. And the roadmap looks at the 8 major categories in our lives, like our health, our spirituality, our relationships, our legacy, our play, environment where we live. And I looked at each of those categories and asked myself questions that allowed me to GPS exactly where I am and where I wanted to go. Because I found out the more questions I was asking, the clearer I became as to what I wanted and needed.
Yep. You know, a roadmap is so important. I call it by a different name. I call it a life plan. And but we have a life plan together, and we've sat down and talked about it. And I never had that kind of thing with my ex-wife. But we, because she was going her way and I was going my way, and it was not working out. And we still care about each other because we're good friends. But we can't live together. There's a lot of situations that cause us not to be able to do that. That caused us not to be able to do that for 15 years before I got divorced. And it was agreement. We actually weighed out a contract before we got divorced on how we were going to do things, because we had businesses that we were in together, and we had children that we had together, and a whole lot of things, properties that we owned, and so forth. But we worked it out on a contract before we actually filed for divorce, so that we would agree to everything before. And we were only in court about maybe 10 minutes at most, and the judge granted our divorce. So, because we had it all laid out ahead of time, and it made it much easier. And we still abide by that every day. I think that the having a plan is so very important. And you talked about some very important aspects of the plan, and having agreement on those things are very important also in a marriage. And I you just gave me some ideas to further our life plan that we're talking about, because we from the very beginning, our plan was to be married for the rest of our lives. And so that's what we're doing. And love is very important in our marriage, and working together and supporting each other, and working on having a good channel of communications is very important also. And that's what we're doing.
Right. That's amazing. Congratulations to you for putting in the work to do that.
Yep.
So, Heather, let's talk a little bit about your roadmap. You've talked about how it breaks it down into 8 aspects of your life, which is basically your whole life, both your physical but also your mental health.
Yes.
Can we break those 8 pieces down even farther to explain a little bit of what they're about?
Absolutely. So let's take, for instance, the relationship, since we've been talking about that. The first marker in the roadmap is your relationship. And in that marker, you examine 3 areas: your relationship with your higher power, your relationship with your family, your spouse, and the relationship, most important, with yourself. Because if you can't start out by loving yourself, and I say, and there's one thing about my roadmap, every aspect or every piece of my roadmap starts with the letter P in some way. So I say, if you can't love the pimples on your face, who else is going to love you? You got to love those pimples, because they are who you are, and they made you who you are today. So I look at those 3 aspects in there. I look at the role of parenting. You may or may not be a parent yourself, but you had a parent. So what was your relationship with your mother, your father? The relationship you have had with your mother and father will shape every relationship you will have or had in your life. And you have to understand that. So I look at those different pieces of a relationship. You know, I look at the relationship that you want with yourself. How is that going to be for you? What is it that fuels you, and what type of fuel? Do you want regular, octane, or diesel? And if you don't get so satisfied, you're not going to be happy with that spouse, i.e. come back to, if you don't understand yourself, then they can't make you happy in any way. You have to do that.
You know, you bring up a good point, and I love that, because so many people use external to make themselves feel better. You know, and I hate to say this, but a lot of women attach to a man to make themselves feel better. We've always been in a society that you need to have that other partner to feel complete. You know, women are raised to have babies and have that career if they want it, but, you know, you have to be married. And if we're in this conception that if you're not married by a certain age, you're going to be that spinster woman.
And the marriage is not going to complete you, per se. The marriage will take you farther down the road, but it's not going to be that eternal joy if you don't understand what you want in that, out of that relationship.
What advice do you give for parents, especially moms, who try to have it all to the point that, you know, they're working, they're raising their kids, but they don't take time for themselves, because they're in this misconception, and I talk about this a lot on my shows, that, you know, society gives us this this notion that if we take time for ourselves, we are considered selfish. But
no, you're not.
In reality, it's the opposite.
Exactly. If you don't take time for yourself, you are not going to be the parent that you envision yourself to be. You know, it's the way I put it. It's like most of us in our lives, or one time or another, have flown on an airplane. And before the plane takes off, the first thing the captain or the head flight attendant gives you are instructions for survival. And that instruction is, simply put, you need to put your mask on first, even if and when you are traveling with a young child. You put the mask on yourself first, and then you'll be able to take care of your child. So if you need to go to the spa once a week, there's no guilt in having pleasure from that spa trip once a week. There should be no guilt because you deserve that and you need that.
Right. You know, for me, it's, you know, spending a Saturday night watching cheesy Hallmark movies.
Oh,
but, you know, it's
true.
My thing. I kind of switched over to GAC now, but, you know, I love my cheesy movies.
I do, too, because, and I tell my son, it's like, if I don't decompress from my day in whatever capacity, I can't help you to do. It's like I said in the beginning, when the ex-husband told me he filed for divorce, I had no income, none, zero. But what was important for me was that I wanted to have time in my day so that if my son was playing a baseball game, he was in elementary school at the time, if he was playing a baseball game at school or they had an activity after school or whatever it was, I wanted to be there. That was important for me. So having no income, him being in private school, what did I do? I started a residential home cleaning service. I said if I cleaned my barracks and got no gigs on my inspection, I could do the same thing for a homeowner. And I did that. And what that allowed me to do was if I needed to clean someone's home and my son was having a baseball game at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I could clean until 1 o'clock, leave that job, go watch the baseball game and participate it, then after the baseball game, go back and finish that job. That was important for me. It didn't matter the time, but was more important for me was to be there with him at his.
Right. And I love that, how you have your priorities and you're not willing to compromise on that. And I know from experience, a lot of us in the military deal with that. You know, we have our set of ethics. We have our set of morals and ideas in our heads, and this is what we're going to do. And we don't change them like a lot of others do. And that's the one thing I'm thankful for the service for, because it gave me that belief system that, you know what, this is how it is. This is how it's going to be. You can't sucker me into something.
Exactly. Once I know what my priorities were, it was so easy to march down the road towards them. Are there going to be detours and roadblocks? Absolutely. But once you know that priority and there's a detour, you know how to navigate back around to where you were going. And I've had many detours and along the way in the past years. My son is now in college. I can say, and I am so proud to say, that I never got unfocused about what I wanted for him, which was I was fortunate enough through the military was I was able to pay for college, a good portion of it, from the military. And then I found a company that paid the rest of my college education. So when I graduated college, to include a master's degree, I had no debt. No debt whatsoever in terms of college loan or whatever that be. I wanted for my son to have the same opportunity to go to college and not have to work and not have to worry about student loans. And I accomplished that.
That's great.
I accomplished being focused and said, this was my priority for him. And he finished year one 2 weeks ago. We have no student loans. He has a brand new car, and he doesn't have to work. How better can that be?
You know, it's wonderful that you the way you've approached things in your life, because so many people, when they go through a crisis like a divorce, they just lose it all, and they just figure, my life is over with. Well, that's not true. If you make up your mind to change your life, because a divorce does change a person's life, and if you just make a decision that, well, I'm going to get the best out of it that I can, and I'm willing to focus on whatever it is that I think is best for myself and my children, if you have children, and the rest of your family and your friend, but don't end those relationships, but build on them. And I think that whatever we have that we can do best, that's what we should focus on after a crisis in our life. And you know, a divorce is a lot like losing a family member. It's very we go through many of the same kinds of emotions and grief on both of those. And and I've done both, so I know. And I know how it affected me in my life. But I was like you. I made some decisions that I was not going to let me get this down. Let this get me down. I was going to continue. And I commend you for that. That's wonderful that you've taken that approach, and you've accomplished some things in your life since then, and that's wonderful. And
bye, thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for coming on our show. It's Mary, you did another good one. Got another good one on here, and that's great, Mary. Thank you.
So,
you know, these things that we're talking about are very important in people's lives, and that's one of the main reasons for this radio show, is to have some impact on people's lives and to help them to have a better world, to help them to have a better life in the world, and to help them to do things that they need to have done in their life. And to do things that they want to do, things that they are interested in, and you've done that, and that's great, and that's wonderful, and I think God has played a big part in that. He's helped you through it, and He's helped you to move forward in your life, and that's what He wants us to do. He wants us to live with abundance. He wants us to live abundantly. And He gives us the blessings that we need to do to accomplish that. And so that's great. Way to go, girl.
So, you know, one of your forks in the road of your roadmap is religion and socialization. And when we talk about this, especially you being ex-military, you know, and me, you know, that transition from having that lifestyle, having that community always with you every moment, and having that support system to all of a sudden you walk through those gates of that door and they're gone. What advice do you give? Because that's the biggest thing that we struggle with, is not having that support system.
Well, here's what I found out from me. The support system was there. I may have, and I did, ignored it, became arrogant and said, I don't need it or want it. And I had to become humble in the words of asking for help, to say, can you help me? Or from my book, the word was pride. I'll give you an example. I was pretty much broke, and I needed to, no, I wasn't pretty much broke. I was broke. And I needed to register my car. And it was like $40 to register the car. And I had like maybe $50 in the bank. And I went to the tag agency, and they didn't, they did. They accepted debit cards or checks. I didn't have any checks. And they were going to charge me an additional fee to use the debit card. And it's like, I didn't really have that resource to let go of the $2 or $3 for the thing. Because when you're diving for pennies, you're diving for pennies. And so I said, okay, I will go to the bank and get the cash. Well, I didn't see a bank, but there's a supermarket by us, which is Publix. I live in South Florida.
Publix.
And so I went to Publix, and I bought a pack of gum, and I got the $40 that I needed. Well, I opened the pack of gum on the way out of the store, and I threw away the wrapper in the garbage can. I went back to the tag agency to pay for the thing, and I had no money. I had lost it. And I was like, seriously? So I had to go back to Publix to get more money again to pay for the tag. On the way into Publix, I happened to glance in the garbage can, and the wrapper was on top and the $40 were below the wrapper. No one had gone into the garbage can and saw the money. So it was still there when I went back. On the way back the second time to the tag agency, I passed a school, Plantation High School, and they had the mascot on the side of the building or the school, and it was Colonel Pride, or T. Pride. I had to relinquish my pride to go into the garbage can to get the money to what I needed. So I'm saying, where can you start, or where can you say? The pride is just a word. You attach the meaning to that word. If you let it go and say, I need help, you'll be amazed at how many people are there to help you. You just got to ask.
Not to mention all the little signs that are out there that, you know, God puts in your path that you don't normally realize until you're in that moment.
Right, exactly. You know, so I say to my fellow active veterans or any other person, whether associated with the military or not, you have to ask for help. And it's okay to accept the help. Or, as they put it this way, in my new world, if help is so such a hard thing for you to swallow, try the word support. Ask for support.
You know, that what you just said about asking for help, that is so important in people's lives. And many people don't understand it. They're afraid to ask for help, or they're ashamed to ask for help. They don't understand that God wants us to ask for help. He says, "Ask and you shall receive." And,
absolutely.
So anyway, I think that our motto here on the Hope Collection, it's helping people by helping them to help other people. We use a pay it forward philosophy, and I think that what you're doing, whether you realize it or not, you went ahead and did it. You went ahead and asked for help, and that's so important, because we can't possibly do everything by ourselves. Just getting advice from somebody, I give people recommendations every day on things that will help them in their lives. Now, whether they follow those recommendations or they do something with them, that's up to them. I can't do it for them. But I'm willing to help them along the way and help them to develop a plan for their life. And so I think that that's what you've done, and that's so important in people's lives.
Exactly. Very important. And I said I would have learned it the hard. And I didn't even want to accept help from my family, because I thought, I can do this by myself. Really? I was born by myself. I don't need anybody to help me. And it was so significant after I started asking for support. And I have gone farther and faster than I could ever have gone on my own.
Amen. Amen. That's so true.
I love how you put that, because we are, since COVID, as a society, we've been so isolated, and we're still in this mindset. And, you know, even with military, we are in this mindset that we're big, we're tough, and we kind of are. But we still need that support. That's part of the reason why in boot camp we have that battle buddy.
Yes.
We have to get back out of this mindset that, you know, we can do this by ourselves, because we're taught our whole lives to ask for help, and we seem to forget that as we grow older.
True. Remember the song by Three Dog Night? One is the loneliest number.
Yep. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, a lot of people use prayer and God as a crutch. And they sit there in the victim mentality of, it's your fault because you didn't give this to me. And it needs to be a team effort. You need to take that next step. And that's where I love listening to Tiffany talk and Matt about, you know, their whole slogan is Fear Hates Movement. Taking that one step forward, even that baby step, is the first and the scariest step of your life, but it's what you need. Now, you use God to uplift and help you, but he's not going to help you if you don't take those steps to help yourself first.
Amen.
Can't say it any better.
You know, what you just said was taking baby steps. That's, I tell people that all the time. When we want to change something in our life, we don't do it in massive changes all at once. It's all little decisions and little steps that we make that makes it happen. And just consistently doing that, there will be a big result come out of that. And your book and your changes in your life have I'm sure resulted because of the little steps that you took along the way.
And you are so right with that, because everything is an inch or meter at one point. And I learned that by saying, you know, we all, everyone I know eats a pizza pie, whether it's cheese, mushroom, or whatever. It doesn't matter. But you get a pizza pie, you cannot eat that pie in one bite, regardless of how good you are.
Oh, that's so true. So true.
And a lot of us have tried.
Still can't do it.
That's right. So, you know, it's one step, one day, one moment, one minute at a time, and you start, but you always start with clarity. You need to know, you know, I say this, I am a huge, amazing fan of the New York Yankees. Good, bad, or indifferent, I love the Yankees. And Yogi Berra, my favorite catcher, passed away now, God rest his soul. But Yogi, and whether he said it or not, but it was attributed to him by saying, if you don't know where you're going, how will you know when you get there?
Yeah, yeah. You know, a lot of times I use the example of if people wanted to take a trip somewhere, like if you wanted to travel to, let's say, Chicago from New York, and you have to have a roadmap, like you talked about your roadmap. You have to have a roadmap to get there. Otherwise, you would end up someplace else if you don't have an idea what roads to get on and what turns to make and what cities you're going to go through in order to get there. So it's very important to have a roadmap, or as I call it, a life plan, and which is broken down into small steps, and it can the things that we can accomplish with in a short period of time, and then go to the next one, and the next one, and the next one. Very important. I want to ask you one thing. Is it possible for me to get a copy of your book?
Oh, it is absolutely possible to get a copy of the book. It's available in Amazon.
Okay. And what's the name of it?
It's Designing Your Life's Roadmap, 8 Pathways to Guide Your Exit from the Pretender Highway.
Deciding your life's roadmap. And you're the author. What is your full name so I can order it?
It's Heather D. Mahoney, M-A-H-O-N-E-Y.
M-A-H-O-N-E-Y. Okay.
Right.
And it's Heather?
Yes.
That's one of my favorite daughters is named Heather.
Awesome. Yay.
Matter of fact, she was at my house just recently. I've been having some problems deciding on what to do to upgrade my computer system, and she's very good at that. She's an attorney, and she's done that for many years, helping other attorneys to get set up. So anyway, she came over, and in about a half an hour, we had it all figured out. Well, she figured it out.
Totally.
And I just
you could send her my way.
Yep. So
you can also click on the link from the radio show. We'll take you straight to Amazon to order your book.
Oh, okay. Great, Mary.
And it is also, if you are a Kindle subscriber like I am, you can read it for free.
Yeah.
But I will have a disclaimer. It's not a book where you just read. You have to do the work.
Yeah.
It's a roadmap. So you're driving, and as you're driving, you physically got to press that gas pedal to move forward. So my book is Designing Your Life's Roadmap is a book of questions, which brings you clarity.
You know, the one thing I do love is I'm looking at your book right now.
you don't have it marked up in price.
Great.
You know, a lot of people, when they release books like this, they're $20-$50. I know, I buy a lot of these books. And you have it, you know, at a price where everybody can afford it. There's no reason not to get it.
No, that wasn't the intent. The intent was to spread it and say, if you are like me and you were searching for clarity and needed support and guidance, that's what I was searching for, and I couldn't find it. And it ended up that this became a tool for me to find clarity. And as I was finding clarity, I hope others will too.
I know a lot of
people that this book would help, and so we're gonna work on that. We're gonna use that as another source of information to help people. Right, Mary?
Yes, sir. You know, when we were talking about, you know, looking at things and, you know, how, lost my train of thought for a minute there. Making U-turns when you hit that dead end, or, you know, you're scared to make that next movement and you know what you got to do. You know, we talked about this before the show, you know, you're struggling with your own podcasting and getting started with the video and all that stuff and having alternatives. You know, I went through the same thing when I first started. You know, to me, the thought of a video scares the little crap out of me. So, you know, looking at alternatives to what you want to do is huge to be able to make a little bit of adjustments to your plan.
And you said the optimal word, which is alternative, because we are, as human beings, I believe we are so destined to be one track. I only see what's in front. I don't see to the right, I don't see to the left, and I definitely don't see behind me. And if we let go and use a partner to help us see to the right, to the left, and to the rear, how much further do we get along? How much further do we move? And that's the question. It's like, how far do you want to go? And, you know, here's another example of that. You look at the world's premier, I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter. You look at the world's politician. You look at the world's premier athletes. They all have a coach or an advisor or a consultant. They are not doing it by themselves, and they can't. So I would say, what makes you so special to believe that you can do it by yourself?
Wow, Mary, we have to have Heather back again.
Actually, me and Heather are in talks about adding her to our Friday lineup.
That's great. That's great. Yep, she's a. Exceptional woman, and a lot of women need to hear her and to hear what she's gone through and what she's accomplished, because that's very important to what we try to do in the Hope Collection, is help people to move forward in their lives and to accomplish what it is that they want to accomplish. And sometimes they don't know what it is, but we can help them as life coaches. We can help them to get through that and to work out a plan with them. So that's very important.
You know, when we look at this and, you know, we talk about how we need help. We need others for us. You know, what comes to mind is looking at an owl. our heads do not swivel almost all the way around like owls do. But even still, how often do we see, you know, animals alone?
Yep.
They're usually
in
pairs.
Right.
Exactly. Yep. We're the only one that believe we can do it by ourselves. Really. And that's just a false belief.
Yeah. One of the main things we do, Heather, is that we help people to so there's a lot of people out there that are looking for some help, but they don't know how to get it, and they don't know how to start. And so that's one area where we do that to help people. We help them to get started, and we help them to make out a plan. We don't do the work for them, but we recommend to them the ways that they can get the help that they need and work with them all the way through it. And don't just say, well, here's what you should do, go do it. No, we don't work that way. We stick with them, and we work with them as long as they want us to work with them. And we help them to accomplish whatever it is that they want to accomplish. And then we show them how they can do it with other people to help them.
And absolutely an amen. Because if you're a parent and you have a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5-year-old or a grandparent who's in that, grandkids are in that age range, and you go to tie that shoelace, it's like, no, I can do it myself. And they will spend 30 minutes doing it, but you know what? It's the only way they will learn is for them to do it and for you not to do it. And more importantly, not only for them to do it, is that they feel empowered when they do it. And are not enabling them. So when we let them take the lead, and as a coach, it's like, I'm here to give you clarity and support. I'm not here to work for you. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's right. Because it won't do you any good to do the work for them, but it will do them a lot of good to do the work themselves. And I agree with you. You can just see it in their face and in their eyes and in their smile when they've accomplished something, how good they feel about it. And it really makes a lot of difference in people's lives. And then, by the way, anytime they accomplish something, then it encourages them to accomplish something else. And it also encourages them.
Yeah, and they
want to
come back and share with you what they accomplished.
Yeah, and it also helps them to feel like they can help other people to accomplish things.
Exactly.
And that's where it's really, really important, because that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to help his people, love them and help his people. And that's what we do. And I know that's what you do. I can tell.
So we are almost out of time for today. I want to thank you for joining us. Heather, thank you for coming on. And I'm going to be calling you in a little bit to talk about a few things. Join us tomorrow when we have the legendary Len Cain. And he talks about the Golden Rule Society. He talks about the Kindness Campaign and Kindness Club and about other ways that he is working to change the world.
Yep.
Tomorrow morning, you get to listen to me live on Crew 92 radio station. You can catch it online. I'll have all the posts on Optimize My Life Radio on Facebook and on my social media pages. Have a good day. Have a good night. See you back here tomorrow.
You too, Mary. God bless you and your family. Heather, God bless you and your family. And I'm going to check out Art in your book.
Thank you. Thank you both for having me today.
Well, thank you for being on the show. It was a great show. You know, sometimes we don't have much to talk about on the show, but sometimes we have a great show, and this one has